Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Jared Cooper.
Bless you. Bless you. No, sit down, sit down. There's no time for that. There's no time for pleasantries. Sit down. Wonderful. Well, I'd actually, even before the meeting started to go on, I don't mind when the Spirit of God moves, but I'd even change what I was going to say anyway. Because I just feel there's a little something that I want to look at just for a few moments this morning, just for a few hours. I was in Portugal with some of our leadership team, and we were sat out in the sun in between two sessions. And one of the guys that was one of the tutors leads a church on a military base. He's got a church of several thousand on this kind of high-end military base in America. And literally he's got generals in his congregation and things like that, and the equivalent of the SAS and stuff like that in his church. And he was going to come and see us in between these sessions to just chat to us about some stuff. And we were all sat out in the sun, kind of looking like I look, which, you know, cool. Thank you, Paul. Nobody else got that. They kind of, I don't know where he's going with this. What's it? Stupid, old, dumb, I don't know, you know, but cool. Thank you, Paul. Saved the day. So we were sitting there in our shades and our, you know, kind of shirt, jeans and stuff. And he walked out with his son, who's about 30, and they walked out onto the balcony where we were. And he looked at the four of us and he looked at his son. And he said, I can't remember his son's name now. And he said, hey, what do these guys look like? And the son looked at us and he said, Delta Force. And we all sat up a little bit higher. He says, guys, the Delta Force guys just look like you. A little bit of stubble, shades, shirt hanging out, blue jeans. They're a different sort of guy. They're the real tough guys, and you guys look like Delta Force. Well, he didn't just make my week. He made my year. I was sticking my Delta Force. The only problem is, if you'd see me when a large spider comes in our house, you'd realize there's a whole difference between looking the part and building the life. We can all look the part. We can all turn up, I'm fine. We can quote for a moment, but who we are, middle of the night, Monday night, middle of the morning, Wednesday morning, afternoon, Thursday afternoon is what matters. And I've been talking essentially about being stronger. That's where we've landed this weekend, because I believe to fulfill our destiny, we need to not just look the Christian part, but build the stronger life and develop an interior castle. And I just felt stirred in me this morning. It's just, I've been in the presence of God. Your worship team is outstanding. I felt stirred to just share something with you for a short moment, and it's going to be a reminder sermon. Most of you will know this, but I want to remind you of something powerful and something practical. This minister of this military church shared a story. He was stood kind of side stage one day, and like I say, he's got all kinds of characters in his church, from generals to normal military men to some really quite specialized forces. And he was stood there, and one of the young men came, who wasn't in the military, came and stood by him and said, so worship's going on, some in uniform, some not. And he leaned into the pastor and said, so who really is the most dangerous guy in the room? And they're looking around, and now, the pastor knew, I can't actually tell you. I know, but I'm not allowed to tell you who the most dangerous guy in the room is. But, of course, we were on another continent, so he described the most dangerous guy in the room. He said, you wouldn't have known there was a guy over this far side, stood at the front with his child in his arms. And this man is one of the guys who was taught how to quickly dispose of people without even any arms. Just kill them in a moment. And this man was stood at the front with his arm around his child, tears streaming down his face, hand worshipping before God and enjoying the love and the presence of his Savior. And he looked around and he never told the guy, but he said, that's the toughest guy in the room. He's dangerous. The point I want to make is that warriors are worshippers. That real men worship. I'm sorry, God is neither vegetarian nor a pacifist. I mean, life is tough. Life is difficult. Life is a strain. Life is a struggle. And if we're going to influence this world for Jesus, you've got to realize you're going into a war. And I mean a genuine war that has genuinely killed people, brought depression, brought difficulty, brought suicide into homes and into lives. We are in a genuine nasty war, not a nice little bit of pretty Christianity. This is a genuine thing. There are powers of darkness that will come against you. And I want to remind you today what we do when we come and we gather and we sing and we speak out into the atmosphere. We're not having a jolly before the word. We're not preparing a time so that someone like Paul can have a bit of healing. We are doing something in the atmosphere of the heavens. Worship is a powerful thing. Listen to this scripture. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There are schemes coming against you. Schemes coming against your leaders. Schemes against your projects. Schemes against your health. Schemes against your children. The devil wants you. Why? Because you want the world. He's going to ignore nice Christians that just want to sing songs till Jesus comes. But those who want to take ground and take territory, you've got to understand, you are in a war. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, people, counselors. It's not against all that. Against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are evil forces in the heavenly realms right now. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. And you know how it goes on, and it ends, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Be alert. Be alert, because the kingdom of God needs alerts. Making sure you're awake. And always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. I want to remind you that our worship and our prayer is having a powerful effect. Yes. Don't worship like a lazy dog lying in the sun on a hot day, waiting for a worship leader to poke you. I want you to realize, work with me for a moment. I know how this can work because we're dealing with the subject of stronger this weekend. Many of us think we're going to be fixed by becoming sponges. And we interact with God and each other with a sponge mentality. I'm going to church. I'm going to suck in everything I can. But you know, one of the words for worship, actually for give thanks in the Bible, means to shoot arrows. I want you to be a bow instead of a sponge. Because you're going to get stronger when you realize I'm here to give out into the atmosphere, not to just try and sponge in. Introversion and trying to look at my navel and hope that something fills me that fixes me is a little bit of a deception. You've got to get to another place to realize I am in Christ. When I speak to mountains, they move. When I proclaim, literally the word give thanks at its root is the sense of to shoot arrows. When Jehoshaphat put his choir in front of the army, I bet their knees were knocking together. They wondered what's going on. Where's the nice keyboard player? But no, they were just going out just with their voices. And when it says that they gave thanks in the root of the word, it means they shot arrows into the atmosphere. And the Bible says that God set ambushes against the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. When we speak, I often see people in worship like this. Work with me. Why are Brits into meditative stuff all the time? Now listen, you can relate to God in meditation, but you haven't yet affected the atmosphere around your world. Because in the book of Revelation, there are three times that we see Jesus and he has a sword coming out of his mouth. Something happens when you open your mouth in your house and you say, Jesus. And you say, hallelujah. When witches and warlocks would come onto the crusade grounds where Reinhard Bonnke was preaching, he would just say, I've been there, I saw it, hallelujah. And they'd all be falling down having asthma attacks. He just said, hallelujah. Realize the power of your voice. A woman arrived at Derek Prince's house with her husband. He had demonic problems. Whose husband has demonic problems? Anybody? You think it's demonic? No, no, no. Maybe it's you. Anyway, she arrived at the door and Derek, and I think it was Ruth, they said, well, we're just having a little praise time with God. You can come in and then we can talk and pray afterwards. So they came in, and Derek and Ruth and the wife just began to praise away and enjoy God and praise. And after a little while, the guys sat rocking in the corner saying, oh, I can't take it anymore. Your praise is driving me nuts. And this is what Derek Prince said. He said, well, you can go now and take your demons with you, or you can stay and trust me, your demons will leave without you. 10 minutes later, he was free. 10 minutes. See, worship creates an atmosphere. It does something into the spiritual realm. Don't sit here going, when the right song comes, I'll be a sponge and I'll finally have that encounter that changes everything. Oh, for heaven's sake, grow up. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Speak to mountains. Address situations. Worship God with all your passion. Because two things. Number one, worship's good for you. Okay. Listen, the Bible says that your eyes are like lamps that shine into you. And if you leave your lamp in the darkness, you'll be full of darkness. But if you pick it up and put it in the light, you'll be flooded with light. Who wants to be flooded with light? So gaze on God. As you gaze on God, you're flooded with light. Listen to this scripture. Here it is, Psalm 27. One thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Listen to this phrase. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, look at the result, in the day of trouble, because it'll come, he will keep me safe. God keeps, God gazes safe. Gazing on God does something inside you that changes you. I want to encourage you, open your arms, open your mouth, open your perspective and worship, because it does something inside you. Even medically, my brother was being trained by some of the guys that train Manchester United Football Club, and the instructor stood up, and one of the sessions he was doing was on how your body affects how you feel and how you are and how you think and behave. And he said, science has found that there's one position you can put the human body in where it is almost impossible to conjure up a negative emotion. And this unsaved instructor said, essentially, you stand upright, you look slightly up, get your hands in the air and put your palms upwards, and it's almost, your body is designed to feel happiest in this position. Hello! I'm worshipping Jesus. I'm worshipping Jesus. Do you know what science has shown? All this behavior increases your stress hormones. When you stand in this position, your testosterone goes up, so your confidence goes up. Your cortisone goes down, so the stress goes down. You were designed to create confidence in you. Even by you, the posture of worship does something biological in you. Don't curl up in a ball at the back. Stand bold before God. There's something in you. But then what does it do to the atmosphere? Not just in you, but in your home, over your finances, your kids. There are atmospheres. You know, there are demons who want to trip your kids up. And you have authority over the atmosphere in your home. When God made man, he put him on the earth and he said, have dominion over everything. So now we invite him into our world. He says, you have not because you ask not. He tells us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Why don't you just come where he wants to? Because he's put you as delegated authority on the earth. In other words, he comes where he's invited. Your worship invites him. He is enthroned on the praises of his people. You getting this? As you praise, God comes into your home and into your world. Don't just be a praiser in public. Be a praiser in private. In our home, we play praise and worship 24 hours a day. Why? Too many demons in my life. Let me tell you that. I need every bit of praise I can get. I need every bit of focus on heaven I can get. Because I'm in a war. And I know, I've said it before, if I don't pray, I will die. And I mean it literally. Because I'm in a fight. I'm in a fight for territory. I'm in a fight to transform worlds. And I know I need to praise because it sets a fire around about me. It sets me in the presence of the Almighty. He lifts me high and places me on a rock. As I dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, things that touch 1,000 and 1,000, they will not touch me as I dwell in his presence. So why do we sing these songs? To change atmospheres. Every time you gather on a Sunday, every time you gather in a prayer meeting, listen, don't just sit and curl up in a ball like a dead dog. Stand up, lift your arms. It's nothing to do with feeling. Do what is right. Lift your hands and worship your Savior. Do you think the children at Jericho felt like praising and shouting? Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Oh, I'm not sure about that.
They're always singing such happy, clappy songs. They're so noisy in the summit. Oh, so noisy and so long. Oh, so long. And then they still put the preacher on. Can you believe it? Oh, Pastor Joshua, no, we won't do it. If they hadn't shouted, would Jericho have fallen? A couple in our church were struggling to have children. Mark and Maria were their names. I was preaching on Sing, O Barren Woman. It's easy to sing when you're fruitful, but even then we get lazy and don't. But Sing, O Barren? Well, they took that scripture and decided they've been struggling, I believe it was for 10 years, to have children. We're going to sing over our home every day. A month later, she was pregnant. It changes atmospheres. It brings healing. It's not just a sing-along before the preach. It is how you were designed to take territory. The only piece of you that is a weapon is your mouth. And the power of life and death is in it. So every time you choose to say, Hallelujah, believe that a weapon has just gone out from your mouth and is changing the atmosphere. If you say Jesus, something happens in the atmosphere. If you say, God, fill this place, something happens in the atmosphere. Now listen, two little important things with regarding praise and worship, and I'll finish. Is this okay? First, Hebrews. And as I'm making it up as I go along, I'll tell you the scripture when I get there. Hebrews, I think it's 4. Listen to this and see if you can find a correlation here. Right? Listen, it's about worship and how we meet God. It says, Hebrews 4, therefore, since we have a high priest, it's verse 14 onwards, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Everybody say faith. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Phew, that's great. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. That's even better. Yet was without sin. Oh, okay, help me, Lord. Verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Everyone say confidence. Say faith. Say confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, everyone say confidence, to enter the most holy place, to go into the deep place of worship, that means by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Say faith. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Say faith. Say confidence. You cannot approach God without faith and confidence. Why do you think they play happy songs at the beginning? There's theology behind it all. It isn't just when we play happy songs at the beginning. It's because we're trying to build a room full of people that are coming from all kinds of backgrounds to a place of faith and confidence. You'll feel it in the room when suddenly in the room, a majority percentage of the room suddenly hits. It's usually like a line in the sand. It's a confidence line. It used to be the veil that we can't go through that was his body. Now, the line, he's brought us the passageway right into his presence. But the line we now cross is one from fear into faith, from doubt into confidence. And that's why we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And then we step up into the holy place and go, come on now, let's meet God. But so many Christians, I see them in the courts, not thanking, not praising, but doing this. No. Stick your faith chest out. Come on. Jesus' name. Raise your hands. Your royalty. Stop doing what you feel and start doing what is right. Worship him. I remember there was one young lad in our church. He was a bit of a rebel, to be honest. He'd never do what he's told. One day, I looked across in a worship time, and there he was, hands in the air, tears streaming down his face. I said to him afterwards, Nick, what did you do? What happened there? Because he was normally switched off in every worship time. He said, you know what? For the first time ever, I did what you said. I said, what did you do? He said, I started thanking. Then I started praising. And all of a sudden, this presence hit me. And I was in just a place of God's throne room. And I realized it was just doing it that brought me stepped up to faith and confidence, and suddenly he was there. I learned to live. They're called the songs of ascents in the Psalms. It wasn't that he comes down, it's that I go up in confidence in what he's done through his blood. And suddenly, wow, I'm in this place where now I'm seated in heavenly places with him, not just in theory, but in actuality. And I speak over my children, and I speak over debt, and I speak over sickness, and I speak over towns and cities and spheres and atmospheres, and things begin to change. It's what worship was made to do. The church was designed, Ephesians tells us, to make the manifold wisdom of God known in the heavenlies. How do we do it? We do it as we declare the wonders of God from generation to generation. First thing you need to be a worshiper is confidence. Lose the bad internal and external postures and begin to realize you're a great machine, a brilliant servant, but an awful master. You need to start taking all that stinking thinking, those doubtful thoughts captive and go, no, I'm a child of God. Shame? No, there is no record of my wrongs. He's the King of Kings and I'm the King with a little K. I'm a king. He's the King of Kings. And I will stand with dignity and worship him, trusting that as I do, like Paul and Silas in the jail, something happens in the atmosphere. Something changes. Confidence. Step up to be a worshiper and you will find that strength begins to flood you. Stop self-absorbing. Stop being a sponge. Start being a bow and shoot into the atmosphere over your life. You'll see it change. The second wonderful thing is that the Bible tells us, Philippians 3, verse, I think, 3, we worship by the Holy Spirit. So I step into thanks and praise and confidence and something happens. But I also have the Holy Spirit to help me. Never have a meeting without inviting the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're not really the worship leaders. He's the worship leader. I'm not really the preacher, he's the preacher. That's why we just let things flow. And right, well, if the boss is doing healing, the boss is doing healing. Who cares? As he fills you, you look through the book of Acts, the five times that the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, their mouths open and begin to preach and praise and prophesy and sing in tongues. The Holy Spirit opens your mouth and something floods the atmosphere. Remember, it says that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. Listen, listen. The only way for something to come out of your belly, well, there's two ways. I've never said this before. Spontaneous preaching is always fun. It's not going to come out your navel, is it? That'll be a bit. I always wondered about that scripture, streams of living water flowing from within you. I'm like, what, was it like fairy liquid or, you know? No, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whoosh. I want to encourage you to take worship seriously as an atmosphere changer in your life. Elisha was all grumpy. He was irritable. He didn't want to prophesy. And they needed the nation was in a mess. They needed to prophesy. They were facing an enemy who was in revolt against them. So he said, don't want to prophesy. Bring me a harpist. See, he knew how to wisely change the atmosphere in his heart. He's kind of a bit grumpy. Bring me a harpist. And as the harpist plays, it says the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha and he brought the word of the Lord. Why do we have music playing? Why do we sing? Why do we thank? Why do we praise? Because our hearts were made for beauty. And who knows that life isn't beautiful a lot of the time. So worship is made to help us realize the beauty of God once again. And to bring us into that place of praise where we begin to have the dignity of kings once again and speak over your life. You don't need me or Paul to lay hands on you. Let's get to a place of maturity. There might be moments, but listen, this is where we should get to, isn't it? I speak over my children. I speak over my finances. I speak over my church. I speak over my street. You were born to have authority in your spheres of influence. And worship, even for Delta soldiers, which is what he was. Worship is one of the ways that we operate in the spiritual realm. Never be a lazy worshiper. Be a passionate worshiper and you'll change atmospheres. Amen. Let's stand together in the presence of God. Band, you've got one song to do it in. We're going to go to heaven in 3.5 minutes. That's the length of a hit song on the radio. Can we do it? We can do it, can't we? And listen, I want you to go nuts for 3.5 minutes. And I want you to find a new posture. Look at me for a moment while I just say this. You know, make sure your internal posture is right. Often we start out young and, you know, spunky and confident with and we've got a leaning in posture that I'm going to do anything for God. And who knows that life gets to you after a bit. And instead of your lean in posture, you end up with a lean back posture. Oh, not sure. Listen, internally, get your confidence back. God is good. And you need to cooperate with him in faith and get your lean in posture. I'm going after all God has for me. I'm a king. I'm a prince. I'm saved by his grace. I'm covered in his blood. I'm here to have authority and dignity. And worship is one of the ways we lean into the things of God and push back the forces of darkness. Come on, let's sing. Let's worship. Go nuts, guys. Let's have fun. Make it noisy. Let's be noisier than them. Come on.
What an amazing weekend. Wow. It's so good to see so many smiling, happy faces. Not that you're not normally, of course. Wow. Brilliant. What? Yeah, it is. What a weekend. I've got to say it all over again. Big thanks to everybody that's made this weekend happen. You know, from... from the prayer team, to the hub team, to the host team, to the cleaning team, to the children's team, the worship team, the tech team, there's so many. We do these things and I think just about everybody's doing something to make it happen. Isn't that awesome? I love it when that all happens. What a team. You're wonderful. You're amazing. You're glorious. Hallelujah. Whew. Do you know, if there's anybody here and you've never actually said yes to Jesus, right now you're beginning to wonder, why have I never said yes to Jesus? You know, this is what I need to do. And what I'd say to you is, don't go without becoming a Christian, which is what saying yes to Jesus. Why go home today without knowing that you are saved, that you are going to live your life with him forever, and you're going to be in heaven when you die? Why live any other way? This is the result of living with Jesus. You want to be part of that, don't you? So if that is you, I don't know if you've already got saved probably during the meeting. You can't have held out this long. But if you want to be absolutely sure, we can help you with that. Just come and have a chat afterwards. We'll tell you, we're going to surrender to Jesus. You're going to give your life to him and he's going to come and walk with you forever. Okay, that's basically what we're going to take you through. And we'll give you some materials and books to help you start it. And if you're local, we'll welcome you to the family. Hallelujah. These are all your friends when you get saved. Well, they'll be friendly to you anyway. So, yeah. If that's you, please don't go without that. We'd love to chat with you. All right, then. On a couple of the cards about our purpose, there were two, I think, that said it was to drink coffee. So... I think there was a little bit of a smile and a wink with that one. But why not? Let's drink coffee. Tea. And don't get a coffee if you want Jared's products, because you've got 5 minutes to go and get them. Form an orderly queue. If you're wanting to get saved, you can go and buy the book first and then come and see me. Okay, cup of coffee, cup of tea, milkshake, squash, whatever you're having, and have an absolutely awesome week. We're open all week apart from Monday if you want to pop back in. And the next event prayer meeting is 7:30 God Encounter on Thursday. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.